She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
It's just a regular street, like 25. To really go 25 is pretty slow. Like, it's painful. For an impatient person like myself, it's painful.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter to win the Spring Baseball and Arizona Sweepstakes from Century Foods. Complete an entry form found in their weekly ad and bring to your local Sentry. No purchase necessary.
Sophia, a big day in baseball yesterday as the league makes a big announcement about cracking down on some of these sticky substances. And it was Chewy's taking out the trash earlier. He was talking about Tyler Glasnow, who was like, hey, I have an injury now because I'm not using sticky substances anymore. What is the vibe from the players with regards to this crackdown?
I think they all knew it was coming. And so that part is not a surprise. I think they were mostly just waiting to see like what the actual rules would be and, you know, punishment, of course. I talked to Freddie Peralta yesterday, Brent Suter, who is the team's union rep for the players union. And, you know, Suter said he's just been trying to kind of be that lead guy in terms of keeping everyone informed of what might be coming down, what the memo is, what that means, enforcement, keeping everybody on the same page. You know, as of yesterday, they weren't having a formal team meeting about it. I think, you know, Craig Counsell was very matter of fact about it of, you know, you read the memo and that's what it is, right? So, Brent Suter said that the one part that did surprise him was the 10-game suspension. He thought that was a little higher than what he was anticipating. He thought it would probably be 5. But he said nothing else really surprised him. And I think, you know, now it's just, you know, it'll start to be enforced on Monday and we'll see what that actually looks like. I think their hope is that it's not going to delay games with umpires going out to check pitchers and you hope it's not super obvious. And Craig said as well, like, once you make the change, just like everything else, there's a little adjustment period. You feel like it might be really obvious at first, and then all of a sudden you feel like this is just how we've always done it, right? Like you just adjust and it feels normal again. So it'll be interesting to see because it's sole discretion of an umpire. So, it is really going to be dependent on the umpires of how much they're going out to check and if they're targeting pitchers or, you know, just how strictly they really enforce this.
Sophia, do you have any idea what percentage of pitchers use foreign substance? Is this the Lance Armstrong theory where everyone's doing it, so that's why I do it?
I wouldn't say it's that far, but, I mean, it is part of the game, right? Like, would you consider sunscreen and rosin a foreign substance? Like, it's not naturally on the ball, but a lot of players use that. Everyone uses something, like just whether it's just rosin or a mixture of sunscreen and rosin or a mixture of some other things. The balls are all rubbed before the game with this Mississippi mud that every team has. It, again, has been part of baseball for decades. So the balls, you know, a pristine, clean ball is called a pearl. Like nobody is pitching with a pearl. That's what you hit BP with, right? But in a bullpen, in a game, nobody is using a pristine ball. All of the game balls are rubbed by this Mississippi mud, and then it's up to each pitcher if they need a little extra something to just get a better grip on the ball. So I wouldn't go so far as to say that, like, everybody is using these extreme sticky substances, like what you're hearing with the spider tack and some of these custom creations. But it has always just been part of the game of pitchers just wanting to get a little extra grip on the ball to have better command.
Why is this such a big deal now? That's the one thing I haven't been able to figure out, because I remember being a Red Sox fan. I remember back in 2013, like there was a big story around the Red Sox and the sunscreen. It was like bullfrog sunscreen, mm-hmm. and it went away within a month. And now suddenly people have been using this now for almost 8 years, 8, 9 years, and suddenly it's coming back and suddenly we care. I just don't understand why we care now.
I think because everything is trackable now, right? Like, and I think people are playing to spin rate most often in this conversation is, well, look at this guy's spin rate. Look at how it jumped from here. And now that this has been a conversation over the last 2-3 weeks, now people are looking like, oh, look at Gerrit Cole. Look at his spin rate dropped. You know, he must be because he was using XYZ. I just think it's because before you were only able to really use your eyes in terms of like, wow, this guy's got good stuff, or he's throwing hard, or wow, that looks a little different. It wasn't measurable before. Now everything is. You can measure every pitch, every inning, every start, trends. I mean, it's insane the volume of information that's out there. So I think that is probably what's part of it, and that's what the league is pointing to in their memo, is they're saying that they have evidence that this is happening and it is an advantage for the pitchers and it's affecting games. And so I think their hope is that by cracking down on this and enforcing it to whatever degree that they do, that it will level the playing field. And that's kind of the phrase that you're hearing here in the memo from the league, is they want to level the playing field. So that, I think it's just, it really is data driven, in my opinion.
All right, Sophia, that's enough of that. The guy, I saw a tweet yesterday. And it's a big story, obviously, and I understand. I think it's going to keep going as well, and I appreciate your insight on it. But as someone who travels around a lot, certainly in a past life, you would go out and you would dine at restaurants, right? This is a part of your life. Mm-hmm. This is a part of your routine. Do you post pictures of your food? Because there was a guy who posted a picture of his barbecue yesterday, and I can't believe people are still doing this. I can't believe people are still posting pictures of food. He got crushed for saying that it was good, and everybody was like, this is the worst looking barbecue I've ever seen. Are you a food poster?
I am generally not a food poster unless I want to promote a place, right? Like if I want to say like, hey, this is like an exceptional meal, or, you know, if it's a personal connection, right, of like, I want to support a friend's restaurant or business or whatever. I think it's more, I'll do it because of that, you know, if I'm just trying to share a good place. But I am not one of those people that documents like, and here I am for brunch at wherever, right? Like, here's a look at my avocado toast. I personally don't think it's that interesting. And I just always think about like what I see from other people. And what I enjoy seeing from other people is when they're recommending other places, like whether it's something new, a cool dish, like whatever, a friend of theirs. So,
you know who's exceptional at that is Eric Name. Eric Name is my go-to guy for Milwaukee Eat Spots now. Yeah, if he recommends a spot, I'm like, I screen grab it and I stick it in my phone and I say, all right, we're going there.
I mean, really anywhere. Because when he travels, he posts the NBA Road Eats, which would obviously come in handy with you, Sophia, being on the road. Eric's my guy, but yeah.
Jen, you're talking about someone posting food. When my daughter, when I used to pick her up from school last year, she would sit there with her camera and and I said, what are you doing? And she's taking pictures of herself. And I said, well, how many pictures, whatever that is, Snapchat? 400 and something thousand picture.
In her phone, right?
In her phone.
And you're wondering why it's not working the way it's supposed
Oh, my God. That's insane. And you have daughters? I can't wait. I hope we're still doing the show. I really do.
When my daughters are your daughter's age?
Yes. Because it'll be really interesting.
I don't know that I hope we're still doing the show.
Yeah, I can guarantee you Chewy will not be here.
Contract, right?
Yeah, 12 years? 12 years?
12-year contract?
Good grief. Sophia, great to have you on the program with us today. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
We should have asked her how she feels about Post's Pictures food guy. Right?
She was... Now that I hung up on her, I'm going to say this. She was real comfortable talking about balls during that segment.
Well, she had to. We asked her questions about balls.
Well, she kept talking about rubbing down balls.
Listen to Ashton. He's always screaming at us for the content that we bring, and now he's bringing up balls?
She said before every game they rub down balls. And I think Ashton and I were the only ones who caught it. Because you guys just still stood there. Just, oh, yes, very interesting point. My head perked up, and I saw Ashton counting tiles in his little room back there, as he does when he's uncomfortable.
Ashton does it so diplomatically, though.
Yeah,
he like,
does.
You and I are like, that's what she said! You know, and we're like, Ashton's like...
She said nuts.
She talked a lot about rubbing down balls.
I mean, the thing is, like, Sophia's a professional. Like, sometimes I feel bad dragging her down to our level. So I didn't, I almost interjected. I'm like, do I want to do that? Do I want to drag Sophia down to our level?
Speaking of dragging down, we absolutely lost this segment. Clock wins.
See, now I'm in favor of the
I
clock.
I know you are.
See, yeah. But you were rooting for the Nets last night, too.
I was not rooting for the Nets. I was rooting for a good game.
Which you did not get. Well, did you get a good game?
I didn't watch any.